Blog Talk Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, the immaculate.
Now listen to this, I'll tell you about my heartache. I'll tell you about my heartache and the loss of God. I'll tell you about the hopeless night, the meager food, the soul forgot. I'll tell you about the maiden with wrought iron soul.
All right, let's try it again.
What a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds white blue. The brightness is big, dark so bright. And I think to myself,
Culture Vulture, whittling down his final episodes here on the freebie version of Blog Talk Radio. I did my show about 6 hours ago on the freebie version of Blog Talk Radio, which apparently they've abandoned all remnants and semblance of support, because my show was basically done, well, I don't know, in a tin can. And about 20 minutes into it, there was an infomercial and somebody doing a product survey, and then a couple of old people in Mississippi saying goodnight to each other, and truckers on 95. And anyway, my point is that, my friends, we've come to the sort of the winding road conclusion of the freebie version of Blog Talk Radio as it's going into pay, starting really February 1st, but really starting January 1st of the new year. And I'm kind of like, you know, I do this show once a week. I'm not living and dying on Blog Talk Radio. I'm living and dying in beautiful downtown Larchmont, New York, here at Soma Space. But looks like they don't want us no more up here. They want us to chunk over like about, you know, $440 a year to talk to you for free. Don't they understand Skype exists, so you don't need to do that? This whole idea that this is a radio type of platform is a joke. It's a joke. It's a hilarious joke. This is nothing but a bunch of voicemail, conference call, podcasting, people like me talking to people like you that happen to be interested in a topic like whatever, and that's all it is. And they have never, in a million years, even the folks at Pal Talk laugh at the people at Blog Talk. There's a lot of talk, a lot of talking going on. Not a whole lot of, like, listening going on, really. I mean, if you look at the ratings for, like, everything from satellite to all the alternative media, iTunes, all of it, there's so much talk out there going on. Not a lot of listening, okay? And the few pockets where people are really listening, there's not a lot of action being taken. So why are we all doing this? Why am I here at 3:30 in the morning re-recording a show that was butchered by Blog Talk Radio at 9 o'clock? It really gets to the heart of the matter, right? What the heck are we doing anything for? Why are we here? Now, if you were listening earlier, I which I'm going to rip that thing out of the sky as soon as this thing's up in the sky. If I can hear myself in an hour and a half when this thing's posted, holy fucking God. I was discussing the cosmic events of the beginning of the week, otherwise known in my circles as Solmageddon. Dun, dun, dun. It started really last week when we were on the air talking about how we're going to be, you know, cruising into the Onto layer of the lunar cycle where everything becomes referencing to self. And then you look at all the events that were going on. We're in the middle of a Mercury retrograde. Now, for all you non-woos out there, it's a reflective time, as the holidays are in general, but even more so for personal reflection. We're pulling up events that we experienced the tail end of September, the beginning part of the fall, and trying to get some wisdom out of it. So our dream cycles, you know, all of our recall is sort of like, you know, cueing in on that part of our lives. And that's what Mercury retrograde does. It allows you to go back and sort of refine your past, because we live in a universe of habit, in a universe of rhythm, in a universe of cycles, right? I talk about these things all the time locally here in Larchmont. But here on the show, I tend to kind of put the flaps down and just talk about the culture, because that's where most of our attention goes. So we have this dichotomy, maybe you're up listening on the West Coast, where we can split our attention in so many different directions that we end up not realizing that on the grand scale, our purpose is to create coherent memory. All right? Because the universe is constantly trying to recycle things and sort of refine itself to improve its communication capacity with itself. It itself is in conversation. We're channels. We're trying to enhance that conversation. And we get mired down in a lot of the local fuzz, the local buzz, the local noise, and we can't broadcast back up to the cosmos. You realize that? You realize that's your purpose in life? Now, memory, everyone thinks memory is just past. No, it's got a bias for past in our way that we are in our metabolic lag time, but we create the future using the same raw materials of memory through intent. All right. So all the crap you waste your money on to buy all your self help books for Christmas and stuff is really just another sort of like I want to say monkey wrench, but I'm thinking crowbar. To pry open your brain to new channels of awareness so that you can create something novel that then can be internalized and shared. That's really all it is. But we're so, like I said, we're so clogged up with a lot of this residual tension that we need to get back to our biological roots. We're being kind of pulled into our technological leaves, as it were, and we're uprooting ourselves. We're getting further away from our source. We're losing contact with that conversation. Soma Time was my opportunity to give you guys once a week some shortcuts, some ways to kind of do it on the fly, because you don't have time to stand still anymore. All right? So getting back to what we were going through, the Somageddon thing, seasonal change was Tuesday. Full moon was Tuesday. Lunar eclipse from, depending on what you read, 300 or 400 years ago was Tuesday. We also had, just to spice it up, a little meteor shower Tuesday. And, of course, the aforementioned Mercury retrograde. All of it spinning like a vortex on levels that we're not even conscious of. So if you've been a little angry, a little edgy, got that rundown feeling, technology not giving you the most complete handoff, welcome to my boat. And really, welcome to the show, because what we're really trying to do this week, get you guys ready for the next cycle coming through, because now we're in the winter. It's a 12-week, 90-day or so process of trying to find the prize. And the prize is exoclarity, exosomatic coherence, which is a systems thing, which is a structural thing, which is working on your core, working on things that require reflection, require introspection, require quiet. And what are we doing at the beginning of it? It's freaking Mardi Gras for 10 days. It's the height of the social season, because we're not alone on this planet, despite the fact that the exos would like it that way. We're not alone. No, we are part of a huge 6.7, I think the latest census kind of adds into this thing, a billion cell organism called humanity. So we do get a little social this time of the year as a way to prepare for the onslaught that is the winter, that will isolate you, that will cause you to reflect, that will cause you to go internal eventually, even if it's not coming from the weather, even if it's not coming from lunar cycles, just because of the rhythm. We're living in a rhythm. Now, if you're not familiar with a widow, what I'm saying, I understand. I've been doing this show, I don't even know, 3.5 years now, whatever it's been. I always seem to be kind of like, you know, coming into the movie lately, you know, just here you are. My stuff's over at summerspace.org. I'm desperately trying to clean it up and make it simpler. Simpler! But, you know, all I really ever get is the same old response. Where are you?
What the fuck was he talking about?
Yeah, so I'm not going to do that much anymore. I'm going to try and keep it local. I'm going to try and keep it to the people I got more of a beat on. You guys here online, I don't know, after the first of the year, I'm thinking maybe this is like a half hour kind of a one-topic show. It's all they want to give me for free. Maybe that's all I'll do. I'll take one thing out of the Rolodex, and I'll just give you some points and get out of here. Because why waste your time? Why waste my time? It's freaking 4 o'clock in the morning, you know? But pressing on, I did want to take a look, because I do talk about it a lot in terms of an example I can give you guys, is our lifestyles. We build habits through our lifestyles that become part of our behavior that then we tend to associate with our identity. Right? And, you know, there's a concept in psychology from the Gibson people, they're the environmental psychologists, that they say, don't worry about what is inside your head. Most of the psychology is trying to figure out, you know, what's inside your head. Worry about what, or focus on what your head is inside of. So what are you putting your head inside of? You know? And I put my head in the sports media a lot because I'm fascinated with the boundaries it crosses, with the way that it involves so many things. It's almost like anything that happens in the sports world kind of pulls in all the other stuff that the culture feeds off of. Economic stuff and racial stuff and all kinds of things. Like this week, you know, I suffered a tremendous and tumultuous, painful, heartbreaking, gut-wrenching, absolutely nauseating loss to the filthy, dirty, disgusting, vile, horrible, evil Philadelphia Eagles. When my Giants blew a 3-touchdown lead twice in one half and lost on the last play of the game. It killed me. I was devastated. I went through a physiological just implosion. And nearly 2 days later, after spending a day in some type of a football fog, the fog lifted. And when it lifted, there was Rex Ryan walking along in his open-toed sandals with a fresh controversy. Now, if you're following the New York sports scene at all, and we do kind of, you know, mention it a lot here on the show, mostly during the baseball season, but, you know, this has been one of those years. The TMZ gossip-oriented underbelly of the sports world, which is embodied by one word, Deadspin. Who broke the, you know, the Favre story back in the summer and Jen Sterger and all that stuff, has now offered us a new one. Sexy Rexy and his wife. Front cover of the Daily News yesterday, talking about it, you know, making these foot fetish videos several years ago. And this is good to back to memory. It gets back to nothing is linear in the world. We just think it is. We've been kind of conditioned to think of time in a linear way. But everything is cyclical. And when you're dealing with something as unforgiving, so to speak, as the web, whatever you click send on and send up there, someone will find it. People are paid to dig up things from your past, whether you're a politician, a head coach, a football team, or the local paper boy, whatever. Whatever, you have a digital shadow. Believe me, I've got one for 3.5 years up here. I'm waiting for somebody to see it. Maybe the groundhog will see it, you know. And I'm just looking back at this year, and we're going to reflect. Because if you're able to reflect on the events of your past and not see them as your past, see them as a mirror of your future. Because habit is so powerful and so intoxicating and so easy and so default and so just kind of like, why should I bother to make any changes? Because it's so self-referential. It reminds you, it's familiar, it's known misery. We live in a quagmire of known misery. So all those deep, dark, dirty secrets that were analog and were going to the dirt no one would ever see down here on the ground, up there in cyberspace, they tend to get bright lights, like what's happening to Rex over there on the Deadspin. So in case you missed it, you know, there's been a lot of stuff. Now, I'm several hours removed from the first edition of this show, but I'm not averse to seeing some other stuff here. Let's see if we can find any updated tweets before we play a little Rex Ryan tribute here. Over here on the Twitter, which is the social media equivalent of the local bar. The story broke yesterday about 9 o'clock in the morning locally here in New York, and it has spread like wildfire throughout the country. And poor Rex had to drag his ass up there and do, his mea culpa, so to speak, because every Wednesday you do a stand-up, you know, sort of state of the team address for the local media. Now, of course, they're sitting there like bloodthirsty hounds, because the mainstream media was, and this is really a theme that's happened in all media this year, and we've talked about it with Eric Qualcomm, I keep calling him Qualman, from the Socialnomics book, and we've had other people on here. We've had Mike Silver, who does a great job of basically integrating those two things, mainstream versus alternative media, new media, is that now, because of the TMZ gossip hunger that the culture is desiring, because we can get a lot more stimulation, we can give a lot more E in our ESPN by looking at the private lives of other people, by looking at the innuendos, by getting behind the mask, because everything's about image. We're so picture biased. I say it once in a while here, 90% of the sensory input in our brain has a visual flavor. So if you have an internet that's mostly based on pictures and images and movies and things like that, that's the real hypertext. That's the real content, because the pictures stick in your head. The images stick in your head. When I talk about some of the things that happened in the first half of the year, most of you are going to pull up images, and then those images are going to pull up feelings. And those feelings are going to pull up behaviors and attitudes and beliefs and all kinds of other ugly things that program you to act in a certain way. So here's Rex. Now, Rex happens to be wired like me. Poor Rex. He's an eco, which means in the third year of his life, Rex discovered the surroundings and never came back. Because that's what I'm trying to get at, people. The one truth that's out there in terms of the way the universe is wired, with all that Somageddon stuff stirring around, all that energy that landed on us, like the house that landed on the Wicked Witch of the West in The Wizard of Oz the other day, and created this cluster F of just debris. Look at what fell out of it. Rex and his wife at the feet. Okay? A lot of stuff is coming through now that we can't deny anymore, because we've created these different channels. So if we understand that about ourselves, he's an empathic, very emotional, very erratic, very unconventional guy, right? He gets blamed for a lot of stuff. He does it to himself a lot. This is what an eco is. It's that emotional, teenager-like energy that I'll have fun first and be responsible second. I'll pay for the bill tomorrow. Just let me have fun tonight. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And that's everything that Rex embodies, okay? So this thing coming up, I mean, with his wife happens to be an exo who's a 9%er in terms of brain wiring in the population. So she's someone who figures, you know, and the relationship is very much between an eco and an exo. It's very much a collaboration. And whatever it is that they bond over, which in this case is foot fetishing, you know, becomes the glue, lack of a better word, of the relationship, because they can live in parallel universes. And they have for the most part. So Rex became the coach and started, you know, showing off a little bit. So here's Rexy at his press conference today, absolutely getting grilled by the mainstream media over something he never thought would see the light of day. But memory served. His memory served.
Ryan, did you and your wife make a foot fetish video?
Hi. Well, you know, obviously I knew, you know, these questions, you know, this question's coming and things. It's, you know, this is a personal matter, and I'm not going to discuss it.
Did you confirm if that was you and your wife in that video?
Again, you know, this is a personal matter, and, you know, I hope you can respect the fact that I wish not to discuss it.
Taking your focus off the team.
You know, I'm going to be ready to play Chicago. We're going to be ready to play Chicago when I am ready. It's my job. I'm focused on the job at hand.
Brett, can you talk about how these videos got on YouTube, how they got in the public eye?
Again, you know, it was a personal matter. And, you know, I really don't want to discuss it.
Rex, even though it's a personal matter, is it something that you had to talk to the organization about? Was it something that came up in any kind of conversation with management?
Again, it's, you know, it's personal.
Rex, by not denying the perception would be the opposite.
Gary, I just want to keep things that it's a personal matter, and I'm really not here to discuss it.
I just think that a lot of people, if this is your wife on in the paper, a lot of people have commented it's his wife. It's kind of cool that he has a fetish with his wife's feet.
I understand, you know, I'm going to get asked this question front ways, sideways, back ways, all this. It's a personal matter.
Can you tell us about your wife?
My wife's beautiful. She's been married for 23 years. And, you know, she's awesome.
All right, so there's a guy getting absolutely grilled by the mainstream media. And if you watch the video, you can see he's just miserable. Miserable. Here's a guy coming off one of the biggest wins in the organization's history on Sunday after coming off two monumental losses. He's overcome so many things off the field this year. I mean, it's just a litany. And now this. And this actually helps the Giants. Again, images get on the back page, right? You go from 2 days of the Giants being basically in the hot seat, of Tom Coughlin looking for his job, of Eli's leadership being questioned, of the entire future of the franchise being put into the dunk machine. And here's Rexy. This thing just comes out of the clouds. Soma-geddon. Memory. It's all memory, guys. And that's what creates this sense of continuity, for lack of a better word again. Because somatics, which is the science I'm trying to talk to you guys about, is a relationship-based thing. The continuity, the relationship between you and your surroundings. It's intimate. It's universal. It applies on all scales. And that's why the constant social media tweeting and all the noise that we get involved in, all the little gossipy stories, all the little tangenza that come up, all the innuendos, all the walla 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 that goes on around all these things, all these mimetic wells, and really memes and memory, to me, same thing, right? Because what becomes viral, what becomes part of the cultural discussion, triggers reactions within us personally. We live vicariously through these events. Right? And you can hear the way the questions were being asked. All the things that were related to that. Okay, he's got a little sexual deviance to him. Oh, that's kind of cool. Okay, well, he's married. Well, we went to the Tiger Woods thing last year, and that was pretty kinky. And all the things about marriage, and that kind of reminds me of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell thing and the gay marriage thing. Oh, that reminds me of the, oh, my God, there was the, there's a lot of issues with immigration and citizenship and why that, and what about, you know, family, and oh my God, there's so many touchstones that are unspoken in that little 2-minute interview. Right? Now, let's see what they're talking about. Let's go see if we can find on the Deadspin, the perfect name for that site, Deadspin, is the original story. Now, again, why does Deadspin exist? Why does Deadspin have an audience of millions tuning into it? Because, again, it's feeding into that E of stimulation, entertainment, that kind of thing. It's entraining us. And we get entrained by things that we identify with, and then we internalize them, and then that's what gets shared. So it's like if you have this kind of fast food diet, this kind of garbage diet of information, that's what gets shared. That's what gets propagated. That's what we create. And it's clouding us, almost like, you know, kind of a smog over a city. And denying us the cosmic conversation, which is much, much more relevant to our well-being. But we don't care about that. Again, teenagers, we're paying for it in the morning. We're kind of just loving this immaturity because we get away with it. It won't affect us. It'll affect the next generation. There's a science called epigenetics, which is really the science of adaptation, which gets back to somatics. And so how we live our lives and how we conduct ourselves and what kind of social behaviors we reward and we stigmatize creates the platform that the next generation builds on biologically. You know, it's like 96-something percent of our health is the result of our behavior, and hardly any of it is the result of our genetics. Hardly any of it. Hardly any of it. So that's why it's like, you know, all this focus on you know, your family history, and no, it's your family's behavior. If your behavior has always been eating a certain diet, having a certain level of exercise, having a certain spiritual practice, that gets socially conditioned into you, and you biologically adopt it. You biologically adopt it. You take it on as your environment. It becomes an extension of you. And then you adjust to your individual circumstances, and then you try to adapt to the conditions that present themselves. So it's always those three steps: adopt, adjust, adapt. That's the cycle. Now the culture's doing it too. The culture has adopted social media, and now it's adjusting to it vis-a-vis these events, and it's trying to adapt, but it's not adapting very well. The system is beating our brains in. It's creating a mockery of all of our little facades. All of the little flatlander facades that keep everything divided. You know, back to that dichotomy I was talking about before. So here's foot fetish video number one. And, you know, it's just him and his wife. It's lame. I can't get over how this stuff was. It was her account. You know, I have pretty feet. My wife has great feet. I have nice feet. I mean, it's like this is something I never thought would see the light of day. And the videos are an exo woman who has the sex appeal, you know, of a wet towel, if you want to get into wet towels. Attractive woman, you know, kind of a, you know, regal in a way. You know, she's got a little proudness to her there. She's got a little, you know, you could see how it would appeal to Rexy. But, you know, this is what we're dealing with. And our job in our lives is to refine our sense of memory so that we can then help the rest of the 6.5, 6.7 billion of us adapt better the next time through, create that better channel, that better loop, you know, so that we can go through the recall and then the restoration and then deliver that vitality to the next layer. And it does cycle back and affect us. It does have its own sense. You know when you have a sense of purpose. You know when your life has meaning. You know when your life doesn't. That's all you got to know. Rex's life is extremely meaningful. He's an invisible guy. But today, he's now fallen into this well. And he's fallen into it many times. And the good part about it, you know, is that, like I said, there's a whole subculture that's learning through reflection. And you see the questions changing, you know, about how we approach these issues. They're getting much, much more empathic, much, much more able to see past the facade, see past the image, see past the phoniness of it all. You know, whether it's a politician, whether it's your local banker, or whether it's Rex Ryan, everybody has a private life. Everybody has an inner life, but just can't live there. You live out here where everyone can see it.
And that's what's, you know, we're learning about this digital world. You know, so you're looking at some of the tweets here that have come through since I got up the air 6 hours ago. You know, he kept saying it's a personal matter, which is an oxymoron. You can't have a personal, there's no secrets anymore. Rex Ryan tells his kicker and punter to put their feet into it. New York media describes the Jet offense as pedestrian. How is it likely that LaDainian Tomlinson will come down with a case of turf toe? Jets wide receivers will catch the ball with 2 feet inbounds. It's not going to stop. What happens the next time the Jets are faced with fourth and a foot? I'm picking the Bears versus the Jets Sunday. Rex Ryan might be distracted this week if you love feet. Oh, my God. It never stops. What's up with Rex Ryan and the foot fetish with the wife thing? This is from 3 hours ago. So it's spreading throughout the world. The jokes are getting better, I got to admit. So here we are back on the Deadspin. Here's a clip of the video, just so you hear it, you understand it, and then we'll go on from there. But there's just a lot of things that are unspoken, unsaid, unstated, that are within the package of this two-minute video that I'll share in a second here.
With anything?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was just resting for a few minutes.
Oh, okay. There's no car trouble or anything?
No, not at all. I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, you don't have to put your feet in. You can leave them out.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah, oh, yeah. In fact, you have really beautiful feet.
Thank you. You know, most people do think, most men do think my feet are pretty. Because they're...
Yeah, they are beautiful. Do you mind if I touch them? Yes, you do. I can touch them. Thank you.
What do you think?
Oh, wow, they're like really soft. Yeah, they're like really soft. Yeah.
Take good care of them.
Yeah. Is it okay to touch them again?
Sure.
Can I smell them? Most men like to do a lot of things with those feet.
Yes,
well, ma'am, can I take your number or see your driver's license? Okay, thank you. I'm going to turn this thing on.
All right, there you go. And it's just, I mean, what's the harm here, you know? It's weird. There's so many tweets here. Let's be honest, media had to ask Rex Ryan about the foot fetish video. Being New York, media asked the question repeatedly. Ryan answered gracefully, class act. From Joe Cassanti. He just kept saying it. But we're getting sick of it. I mean, there's a lot of comments up here that just say, who cares? You know, because, again, we're at that point. We're at that point where we've indulged. It's like eating a whole bunch of icing as a little kid and getting that sugar headache, you know? George Carlin got out of here just before it all hit the fan. He was talking about this in the waning years of his life. About how we've become such a, you know, navel-gazing culture that we don't get it. And the world's going around too quickly now for us to kind of resolve that. So we're sort of living in the aftermath of that non-realization as a culture. And it is all about entertainment. It is all about displacing and dehumanizing and desensitizing. That's why we could put war up there. That's why we could put economic strife up there. That's why we could put all kinds of big, unresolvable things up there every single day and still function. We have to be able to disconnect. We fragmented our attention so much that nothing really sticks.
what it does, it sticks in the sky and it sticks in our somas, so that we tend to kind of live in that dirty fishbowl water. That's the way it's been. So kind of turning the lazy Susan toward 2010 and being able to reflect and being able to understand it. Because look at all the things that were embedded in that video, right? Embedded in the way that people got into it, the seediness of it, and the kind of, like I said, that sort of titillation factor. It's always got to be there. You always got to get someone interested. Get them the two ways you get people interested is sex and violence, right? If something is sexual, people turn their eyes to it. If something is violent, people turn their eyes to it. And again, once the pictures get in and grab hold of your attention, it ain't letting go. It ain't letting go. And since 99% of learning isn't conscious, guess what? It sticks to your bones, and it becomes part of your programming. And that's why they can get an image into your system and basically then just keep playing off of it. That's what they did. So I'll give you an example. Here's four events from 2010, the first half of 2010. We'll take a look at the second half of 2010 in next week's probably final 90-minute show, I would say, on the Blog Talk Freebie Network. I'm fed up with them. We'll do something else. I don't know. But I'll keep talking. Got to keep talking. First half of the year. Here's four pretty noticeable events that happened that have the signatures of these domains that I discuss on the website on summerspace.org that you, the listener, are tuned into all the time, whether you are aware of it or not. We live in the four domains. And these four domains are part of the way we're designed. It's part of the way that we function. It's part of the way that we do those three things I said before. Adopt, adjust, and adapt to our surroundings. First one's the Olympics. Now, think of the Olympics this year. What comes up? You see it? You see the Olympic symbol, the Canadian thing. Five or six images come up, right away. The unfortunate incident where the guy in the luge died, you know, on the day of the opening ceremonies. Big tragedy, right? Where's that now, right? The redheaded snowboarder dude. I always forget his name. I think of him as Carrot Top. Something, I think it's Sean White, right? The two skiers that one was supposed to win and one wasn't supposed to win, and they were competing, and one hurt her hip, and I can't remember her name either. Cute blonde, I don't know. There was so many events. The Russians getting upset with the judges for the figure skating, and then they fired everybody, and that was a disgrace for the Russian nation. Right? They don't lose these things. The Canadians having a conniption over the hockey. They almost lost to the dirty, horrible, you know, the equivalent of the Eagles, the United States. All the things that came up politically around the organization of the Olympics. All that in a two-week window, all of that a big distraction, all of that full of gossip, right, full of corporate stuff. And yet, because it's archetypal, because it has a legacy attached to it, because it has immortality on it, I mean, I was just discussing this, like, I don't know, seems like about 24 hours ago with my daughter, who studied ancient societies for her social studies class. You know, you think about the origins of the Olympics, and you get into the marathon, you get into Athens and Sparta. These things are timeless, guys. They're not. We've repeated these things in every sense, and that's really what the theme is about this show and about semantics and about everything that's going on in social media. The word is again. Again. It happens again and again and again. That's why I close every show saying spiral on. There's a continuity to all this mess. And we reconstruct it all the time. That's why the Olympics represents an exosomatic viewpoint. It's impersonal. It only records the winners and the losers. It's very digital. All the little events that happen around it all go away. All that analog stuff goes away. And you're left with this residual design, the Olympics. It's got that four-year rhythm to it. It's bringing together the countries. All that mess that goes on. We're going to do it again in a couple of weeks with the Super Bowl. That's an annual event. We did it in the summer with the World Cup, right? Sports has a way of having an infrastructure to it that's very timeless so that you can continue to compare errors and create this conversation and cross-hatch it through time. So it brings together the...
Anyway, as I was lying in the puddle, I think I may have found a way for us to get Bonds and Griffey, and we wouldn't have to give up that much.
Well, don't tell to me, George.